Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome into 49ers Live. I'm Joe Fand, sitting, as always, right next to my guy, Ted Robinson. Ted, it wasn't pretty yesterday in Week 7. There's no other way to sugarcoat it, and diving right in. 40-10, the final against the Dallas Cowboys. 49ers now 0-7, going back across the coast to the Philadelphia Eagles in Week 8. Your initial impressions from what transpired yesterday right here at Levi Stadium?
Well, the first thought, and I think this resonated with all of us, it certainly did for the home fans. You know, yesterday, the team hadn't been around for a while, hadn't played a home game in a month, had played three consecutive really good games, competitive games on the road. We know the heartbreak losses involved. So you finally get back home with your fans. The 49er fans, I thought, showed up really well yesterday. On a day where I fully expected the stadium to be half Dallas fans, and it wasn't as bad as I might have thought. And then on top of all that's the incredible emotion for Dwight Clark Day. And so many of Dwight's teammates are here, and the great, you know, there was such an amazing representation of the 49ers teams of the 80s. That was phenomenal. And for the game there, for the 2017 game to go the way it did, everybody feels lousy about that. You're sick because you just want to put a good showing out there and show everybody, including the greats from prior years, that what you just saw three straight weeks on the road wasn't a fluke. This team is getting slowly going in the right direction. And yesterday was a major setback. And now the challenge is to make sure it was just one day.
Absolutely. Let's check out some of the highlights. We won't go through the entire nitty-gritty of what transpired. But here's just kind of a taste. Again, a really special day at Levi Stadium with Dwight Clark Day. His poignant words at halftime were very special. This comes after a Trent Taylor muffed punt. Ezekiel Elliott, just a couple of plays later, dives in. He would not be done. Now it's 2nd and 16 from the 18, and it's Jason Witten, as he's done just so many times in his career, an unbelievable catch. That a one-handed grab for the touchdown. Here's C.J. Beathard in the third quarter, opening drive, going for it on fourth down. Kendrick Bourne trips up, unable to make the play. Turnover on downs on the very next play. Here's your ball game right here. Ezekiel Elliott, 72 yards to the house. This team's been beaten so many times on those quick screens to running backs. And this time, Ezekiel Elliott again, 72 yards to the house. His third touchdown of the day. He had 219 total yards in the game. Here's C.J. Beathard's first career touchdown run. The San Francisco's lone touchdown of the game. Obviously, the game well out of reach at this point. But C.J. Beathard finding the end zone from 4 yards out. 40-10, the final. Cowboys back to 3-3. They're 500. The 49ers are 0-7. Ted, I think there were so many storylines coming into this one, whether it be Reuben Foster's return, who had a nice moment tackling Ezekiel Elliott in the backfield. Did end up going down. He's a bruised rib, not a broken rib, so it's good news there. Should be available in Week 8. C.J. Beathard's first career start, obviously a huge storyline. Let's start with him. What did you see from the rookie quarterback?
Yeah, I would say that bottom right on that screen you just saw right there was big, the turnovers. The 49ers had, coming into the game, coming into this past week, had forced more fumbles than any team in the league. You wouldn't think that off an 0-6, but they had forced more fumbles. They hadn't recovered enough of them. The 49ers had been pretty secure with the ball, but yesterday there were four fumbles. Lost three of them, all four by rookies. Beathard twice, Trent Taylor on the punt return, just fumbled, ball punched out of his, and then Matt Breida had one punched out of him. Luckily, on that particular case, Breida was able to fall back on the ball. But that's something there about ball security and the lesson for rookies. Now, the 49ers are playing a lot of young guys. We understand that. But that's four lost balls, all by first-year guys. That one has to be addressed and corrected. It's a very small part of what happened yesterday. But to me, it told something. C.J. Beathard, you see a lot of promising things about him. The one thing that I thought, just watching the game, was after 5 weeks in a row where, or 6 weeks in a row where there were some accuracy issues at various times with Brian Hoyer, I thought the accuracy of Beathard yesterday was much better than what we had seen in terms of putting passes where receivers can catch it in stride, they can run after catch, try to make some yards. It was improved. There were some throwaways I think C.J. made intentionally where he had nowhere to go with the ball. Let's also be, you know, blunt. They couldn't protect very well yesterday. I mean, Dallas, and once the score became, you know, Dallas's favor, even by this point, 14-3, your defensive line starts teeing off. This was the best pass play of the day, this throw to Marquise Goodwin. But I don't know, Joe, what you thought. At least to me, I see Beathard keeping his eyes down the field. He read the field. He read receivers. And his accuracy was better. Now, I think the next challenge or the next step is going to be to continue to make sure that you can protect him. We see the the play-action boots, the things that are staples in the 49ers system?
Yeah, to me, it's something where it's an incomplete for me. I think when you have a game that's so out of hand so early, the pressure, obviously, he's taken so many big hits. You saw some nice things. You saw him use his legs, his athletic ability, running the read option on third and one, calling his own number and getting 16. I would imagine some of the pressure has to do with him holding onto the ball a tick too long, but some of it, you know, he's got pressure where he can't see it, taking big hits. Yep. Two of the fumbles you see from Dallas's defensive line that was absolutely dominant. On both sides of the football, Dallas was dominant up front, and that's the story of the game, both with Zeke having a gigantic game. And on the other side, you have a rookie quarterback, got to be able to keep him upright. Yeah. The 49ers didn't do that yesterday.
Yeah, the holding the ball, you're right, that's a good point, Joe, because that was something that everybody knew. That was C.J. Beathard in Iowa, too. Took a lot of sacks, held the ball a lot. It's something we saw here with Kaepernick. Kaepernick, for all the talk about his mobility, you go back and look at the sack totals. Kaepernick took a lot of sacks here over his time with the 49ers. In his case, I think he was drilled, not going to throw a pick. I'm not going to throw a pick no matter what. I'll take the sack instead. But, yes, that was clearly something you saw yesterday from CJ. It's, I think, something that Kyle Shanahan likes, though, because he wants his guy to stand in the pocket, to be resilient, to understand and be able to deliver a ball even when you know you're going to get smacked. We saw that happen a couple of times with Beathard yesterday. But I'll umbrella your point about the sacks with the negative run plays. There's just too many minus plays on offense for the 49ers. Way too many. Too many first down plays to me yesterday. We tracked, I think there were five of them in the first half that were either zero or minus. You're already starting behind. You're in second and long, and this isn't good enough yet of an offense to have long-term success playing that way.
Before we get to the 49ers' negative runs, let's look at what the Cowboys did well in the running game and how they took advantage of some of the things they saw from the 49ers' defense. You got a little film review you want to do. Well, again, Ezekiel, a gigantic game, 26 carries, 147 yards.
All right, so this is right after the fumbled punt. So the Cowboys went three and out, remember, on their first drive. They tried to pass twice, and DeForest Buckner broke up both passes at the line of scrimmage. They punt, Trent Taylor fumbles, Cowboys recover. Now let's watch the first play, and let's take a look at a guy who's been real good for the 49ers so far this year. That's Earl Mitchell, veteran, standing in the middle of that defensive line presence. Now for the Cowboys, on the opposite side, you can only see is really a silver helmet alongside Dak Prescott, is an all-pro guard in Zach Martin. It's one of the strengths of the Dallas Cowboys defense, is this defensive line. All right, so now let's roll this and watch what happens to Earl Mitchell when he goes up head-to-head against Zach Martin. This is the one-on-one play, and look where Earl Mitchell gets pushed. And now, as Earl Mitchell ends up being pushed here, Ezekiel Elliott gets to the line of scrimmage. Right there, there's no resistance. The 49er front has been pushed away and out. Now you're asking defensive backs, as this play rolls on now, you're going to ask defensive backs to try to make the tackle, and look where Elliott ends up at the five-yard line. All right, very next play. Another part of this, because of the post-Navarro Bowman era, Ray Armstrong struggled in the Washington game. That's Eric Reed. Eric Reed, in the first quarter yesterday, started as part of what you would think would be a dime set, six defensive backs, but in essence, he's playing in a goal-to-go down here. Eric Reed is playing as an inside linebacker alongside Reuben Foster. Now, take a look at what's going to happen to Earl Mitchell on this play, because Dallas sees a fairly light box, and look at that, he's double-teamed. Earl Mitchell gets doubled by Travis Frederick and Zach Martin, two all-pros, again, pushed completely out of the play. There's no wall by the 49er front at all, and you're asking defensive backs to make the tackle. Now, this is after the Cowboys scored their first touchdown. They've now got the ball at the San Francisco 25, and let's take a look at another guy that just got here this week. That's Tony McDaniel. Tony McDaniel's been in the league a long time, played 1 year for Seattle. He has to play because of the injuries on the defensive front. Once again, Eric Reed is playing as an inside backer alongside Reuben Foster. But watch what happens to Tony McDaniel as we roll this. Left guard Jonathan Cooper, 64 and white, is going to loop around and just flatten McDaniel. And Ezekiel Elliott runs right through that hole, 25-yard touchdown. And that was where, in the first quarter to me, this game completely went Dallas's way. They established that dominance up front. And now, Joe, this negative run play you're talking about, this is the 49ers have just hit their best pass play, I think, certainly maybe the best pass play of the year, is a 48-yard throw from Beathard to Goodwin. Really nice throw, nice play, flips the field. Dallas has a very good, I mean, this is a great linebacker, Sean Lee, just back from injury. Kyle Shanahan thinks one of the best in the game. Watch Sean Lee. He's going to end up here. And as this play starts on this first down run by Carlos Hyde, Let's watch the path Sean Lee takes to get there. See where his eyes are? And unblocked. An unblocked Sean Lee coming from an inside linebacker spot, and he makes the play on Carlos Hyde, and that's a negative run play on first down. And that's just one play that was reflective to me of far too many yesterday that happened. And the 49ers, I think a bigger question as the season goes along, Joe, is can they find some way in this new scheme that Kyle has brought here to establish the ability to run the ball? It just hasn't happened consistently enough. It happened on one drive yesterday, and Tim Ryan was brilliant pointing this out on radio, where they finally eliminated those outside runs that we just saw there and started to run that ball inside, in the inside zone plays, inside the tackles. Carlos had some real good runs doing that on one drive. Other than that, there was no ability to really run the ball.
Carlos Hyde, 14 carries, 68 yards, dominated the reps at running back. And I think what continues to ail this team is those early holes, whether it's at home, whether it's on the road. And it's just not a recipe when you're down 14-0 midway through the first quarter to say, okay, here we go. We're going to get Carlos Hyde going. He's going to churn out a bunch of yards. We're going to get him 25 carries. I think that's a frustration. I don't know how you come out of the locker room and find a way to avoid that early hole and keep yourself from playing catch-up because, I mean, obviously, is Captain Obvious alert. I mean, it's not a recipe for success.
No.
But especially when you have a rookie quarterback in there for the first time, especially when you've struggled to establish a running game, you get that three and out. You build the momentum. You get two pass breakups from DeForest Buckner and to muff the punt. I mean, Trent Taylor, he owned it last night. You know, that's a huge momentum swing. And the second you go down 7-0, that's a hard thing to do and a hard thing to overcome against a good team like the Dallas Cowboys who have just come off their bye week.
Yeah, and that's the point. It's a self-inflicted, a lot of this early stuff. So, you know, we saw Trent Taylor. We've seen him enough now to understand he's a very aggressive punt returner, and it paid off. He had a terrific punt return in Washington a week ago that helped trigger a second-half score for the 49ers in their comeback. So he's trying to make a play yesterday, but the ball security is just – that's essential in the NFL. You will not play if you don't secure the ball, and that's the frustration. He's trying so hard to make a play. The other part, and we saw it in the first quarter, in fact, the play just before Ezekiel Elliott's 25-yard touchdown run that made it 14-0, remember, that was a play where the 49ers got some pressure on Prescott and forced what was going to be a grounding call. Rashard Robinson got called for a penalty out on the wing. Negated the sack. It was a redo of first and 10 and ended up, and here's the pass we're talking about to Goodwin. That was just a great throw by Beathard. I want to say something about Goodwin in a second. But my point is that it's connected. So the 49ers, another thing that has really, I think it shined through very brightly yesterday. Part of it is the absence. Aaron Lynch doesn't play yesterday. Tank is out. Armstead is out. Ronald Blair, I think we're going to see him back in a week, if not two. That'll maybe help a little bit, but the defensive line's thin. There's no pass rush. And so as a result, when you're playing this defense, if there's no pass rush, you're asking those corners to spend a lot of time out there alone. And it's really, Rashard Robinson has been a penalty machine. It's unfortunate. You know, he's a guy you're counting on a lot, but it's connected to me, and part of it, there just hasn't been enough pressure. And Joe, think back. We've had two games here at Levi Stadium in the last month. Both games, Jared Goff, Dak Prescott. How many times were they hit? Rarely. Rarely. And that can't happen. The 49ers, and I don't know if it's going to happen this year. The cast is already set in place. But going forward, this absolutely has to be, to me, a priority of this team is to find some pass rushers, plural.
It's amazing when you have guys up front, how many issues that can mask, right? Yeah. When you have an offensive line that can win at the point of attack, when you have a defensive line and a pass rush that can get home, the deficiencies you can hide in the secondary. You look at the Jaguars, a winning team right now, 10 sacks yesterday in one game. You look at DeMarcus Lawrence, a guy for the Cowboys, an all-pro candidate right now. I mean, he's been a game wrecker. And so when you have guys who can make those plays, and that's nothing against DeForest Buckner, but just the way it works, I mean, as an interior pass rusher, you're never going to be a guy who's Von Miller-type sack numbers, right? For all of DeForest Buckner's greatness, you know, he's not in a position where you're going to get those game-wrecking plays, game-breaking plays.
That's right, and that's what we're talking about, because Solomon Thomas is not that kind of player either. Everyone knows that, but that's what I'm saying. This
and it was a worry what we ended the season. Right. How is the pass rush going to be? They haven't been able to have a guy who can win one-on-one, and Robert Saleh's had a tough time manufacturing sacks as well from a blitz and schematic standpoint.
Yeah, so the defensive line, and believe me, yesterday to me was an anomaly. The defensive line's been so good so far this year. That's what yesterday was startling about. Clearly, attrition on that position has hurt. There's no argument. And the 49ers have to deal with it. I do think, you know, they can bring two players back from IR. I think Ronald Blair will absolutely be one of them. I'm not sure if Ronald will play this week, but I would guess by the next home game with Arizona, he's back. And then I'm going to guess Tank Carradine comes back as the second player just because that position has been so thinned.
Just a reminder on the rule for those IR designated to return players, you get two of them each season. The one stipulation is that they have to begin your season on the 53-man roster. So you recall that Ronald Blair initially made the team. They had to cut Logan Paulson before they could put Ronald Blair on IR to make sure that he was eligible to come back. Just a small wrinkle. Just want to make sure. I've had some questions about that again. Yeah, Tank Carradine, another example of that as well. Asa Jackson could be a candidate to return as well. Moving ahead to Philly. They've been a team that's so good. That offense has been so good. We're going to see an old friend, Torrey Smith. They've got Alshon Jeffrey. Nelson Agholor has been playing great. The number two overall pick last year, Carson Wentz, is playing great football. And so when you look at this defense, they gave up 501 total yards just yesterday to the Cowboys. How do you respond? How do you pack that defense, take it on the road, another 10 a.m. start Pacific time that's traditionally so difficult for West Coast teams? What has to happen in this next 5 days for a different outcome to take place on Sunday from Lincoln Financial Field?
Yeah, not being a smart aleck, because I asked Tim Ryan the same question. He gave me this answer yesterday. I'm not trying to be smart aleck, but it's really true. At some point, they have to play better. I mean, yesterday that just was not. The Dallas Cowboys are good. They're not that much better than the 49ers. I think that's where I'm maybe trying to capsule this by saying. So yesterday, part of that is the 49ers just didn't play well. They have to play better. And we understand the emotional hit of having all these close games in a row, this brutal month of travel, which thankfully ends. This is the last Eastern time zone game for the 49ers this season. It is in the second half of the year. There's only three trips, and it's Chicago, Houston, which by our standards are shorter trips, and then Los Angeles. So second half of the season, we knew that all along. It was going to be a little bit easier on the schedule, easier on the travel, but it's also tougher because you've had attrition. By the time we get to December, who knows how many more injuries there will be. I will say one thing, because you mentioned a name, Joe, that's great. Torrey Smith, we saw play here a couple of years, and Torrey did a lot of wonderful things for the 49ers off the field, and I think we've seen that extend since he's gone to Philadelphia. There was an on-field problem. He created, he was a part of early in his tenure here, where he and Kaepernick in the famed Arizona game with the two pick sixes in the first quarter, that had to be dealt with, and it was a significant thing. Thankfully, they got through that. What I want to say is that Torrey was signed here to fill a role. And I would even say this, after seven games, I've seen Marquise Goodwin make more and a higher variety of good catches in that same Torrey Smith role than we saw Torrey make in his 2 years there on the field for the 49ers. So I think that's a credit. And obviously, in 0-7 and coming off a Punisher yesterday, you're looking for silver linings. But I think that's nice. Now, Marquise has had some drops, no doubt. But he's made some catches, and he's run that variety of routes that you look for from that position. He hasn't just been running a go route on 30 snaps a game. Now, here's the one we're talking about yesterday again. And just remember, he went up high to catch that over the middle. Remember the catch he made in Washington last week. That was probably the best catch he's made. I think it was when CJ first came in the game, and Marquise went up high over the middle and made that kind of catch, which is the test for all receivers in the NFL, because you know you're going to get hit. Do you make that? So I think that's been a positive amidst a dreary day yesterday was Marquise Goodwin.
Before we let you go, Jeremy wants to know about Reuben Foster, what you thought about him. It looked like he wasn't limited in terms of his, you know, he wasn't on a pitch count that maybe Eric Reed was the week before. And so when you see Reuben Foster back, he had the one big play to tackle for loss. But what do you make of his return again? To me, my snap reaction is, I think after one game, there's not much you can take away from that game, whether it's C.J. Beathard, whether it's Reuben Foster. I think you kind of just throw that one away. You take your lumps watching the film and move on from it. I wouldn't have a definitive reaction to Reuben Foster either way.
You know, as a player, don't worry. Reuben Foster's going to be here. He's going to be here. I mean, again, it's the sport, so there's a risk of injury. But barring that, he's going to be a terrific player here for a long time. I thought there might have been one situation yesterday that arose because, again, of the change post Bowman. Now Ruben's calling the play or calling the defense. He's got the blue dot or whatever you call it on the helmet, and there may have been some issues with that early in the game, but it's something new. I mean, it's only the second game Reuben Foster played in the NFL, and you've asking him to step up and do a lot, and that's another story. It's an overarching story to me of this 49er season, is that because this is a tear down and build back, and it's been a pretty significant teardown this year. You're asking young guys to come in and do a lot. Now, Foster hasn't been able to play a lot yet, but yesterday he gave him that responsibility. Another guy we saw, I think, had his, and I don't have the snap count stuff in front of me right now, but to me seemed like they took a little bit off his plate yesterday was George Kittle. And I think everything we saw last week that went on here with Logan Paulson was a result of a domino effect of a guy that is very important to Kyle Shanahan's offense, and that's Kyle Juszczyk. Juszczyk hasn't played the last 2 weeks, and there is no other fullback per se on this roster. Paulson comes closest to perhaps being able to do some of the things that you would ask of Juszczyk. Without Juszczyk, this offense, it's harder. I'm not saying, and I'm not trying to put a Superman cape on Kyle either. Trust me, on Juszczyk, that's not the point. But he's important to what Kyle Shanahan wants to do. Logan Paulson yesterday got back and played a little bit more, and what that did was take George Kittle out of the role we saw last week. Remember we showed that play where he was lining up as a fullback in the eye? It's a lot to ask of a guy in his first year here, and the league has played a lot of snaps already. So I think that was a smart decision by the 49ers backstage, was to pull back on Kittle. Let's have Paulson back here. If you're going to run that kind of formation, have him do it. And Kittle, to me, yesterday you saw his snaps backed off. And Hikutini got a chance to play, made his first NFL catch. All of that stuff, now that we're hitting the halfway mark this week of the regular season, I think are things we watch with the young players.
Yeah, the youth movement continues. Again, the 49ers heading east in week 8 to face off against the Philadelphia Eagles from Lincoln Financial Field. We'll have it all covered next week on 49ers Live. Until then, for Ted Robinson, I'm Joe Fan.
I'm buying Joe cheesesteaks, by the way. I just want you to know. So send Joe your favorite cheesesteak spot and your favorite cheesesteak recipe in Philly, because I'm buying Joe 2 of them next Saturday night.
Two of them.
Well, look at you. A man of your stature can handle 2.
It'll be documented on social media, no doubt. Until then, enjoy your week, everybody.